You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, join the official fan club of the Cleveland Browns, the Browns backers. Join now and take your experience as a Browns fan to a whole new level with exclusive access, giveaways, Browns backer watch parties, and more. Register now for free at fans.clevelandbrowns.com. That's fans.clevelandbrowns.com. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm here again in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Going to go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline and bring in national NFL reporter from the NFL Network, Albert Breer. Albert, welcome to the show.
What's up, guys?
Not too much. Thanks for joining us here today. Obviously, as you've seen, lots of news coming out about the Browns today. Some about TexGate. Jason Lockenfor wrote an article about them as well. What is your view on this organization right now and kind of just the rough start to the offseason with Johnny Manziel, Josh Gordon, et cetera?
Yeah, well, I mean, you can dress it up differently, but it always seems to be the same, right? I mean, it's funny because I was in the building a bunch in December, and I really felt like the culture there had kind of stabilized and things were a little healthier, and it wasn't just, it didn't feel as chaotic as it had in the past. And obviously, I was wrong because it's just, you keep rolling the dice on guys and you keep having these issues, you know, and that's, I think it'll be interesting to see where this goes, you know, where the text thing goes, where the Josh Gordon thing goes, because it's a lot for an organization that really has tried, and that was the point of all the moves last year.
To try to stabilize the culture, and it's hard to say at this point that it's actually working.
Albert, with Johnny Manziel entering, self-proclaimed rehab, and then Connor Shaw being the only other quarterback under contract for the Cleveland Browns, where do you think they go from here to be able to be, you know, ready to contend in 2015 at quarterback?
Well, and they hope that Manziel is in the mix, but I don't know that you can count on it. And so, you know, I think the way you look at all of this now, you take a step back and you say, we're going to keep throwing darts at the dartboard. Now, I don't think that means they spend their first-round pick on one, but, you know, look how Seattle found Russell Wilson. I always use this example. I mean, how many other guys did they go through? They went through Charlie Whitehurst and Matt Hasselbeck and Tavares Jackson and Matt Flynn and Mike Teal, and they kept throwing darts at the dartboard. And while they were doing that, they were spending their first and second round picks to build their team. And so, I think that's the approach you take now if you're the Browns. You keep throwing darts at the dartboard. If Manziel works out, great. If not, you're giving him competition. And maybe you find the answer somewhere else. But you got to keep trying. You know, that's the bottom line. And the team is not devoid of talent. This is not a total rebuild the way it was a few years ago. I think it's important now that you look at it and you say to yourself, okay, well, we got to pull every lever to try and find a quarterback. And again, if Manziel works out, Manziel works out. But having two or three good quarterbacks on the roster is a good problem to have. And so I think you take that approach that Seattle's taken, and you know, in finding Russell Wilson, and you just kind of keep throwing darts at that dartboard to find your guy.
Talking with Albert Breer from the NFL Network now. Albert, what is the latest that you're hearing on the text issue and reports coming out today saying that it centers around the Browns general manager, Ray Farmer?
Yeah, well, that's what I'd heard all along, you know, and I know part of the issue with Kyle Shanahan involved, you know, the management's desire to get Johnny Manziel on the field and see what he had. So, these things exist in some places. And again, I mean, it felt like a healthier culture, but the best organizations, and this is the way that I think you, this is why you see the setup that you see in Atlanta now. This is why Seattle's been able to win. I think a lot of the best organizations, the way you handle it is you say, okay, you have your GM and your front office handle the off season, and then once you get to camp, it's the coach's show, you know, and so because the upper management interfering with coaching decisions, I think it's bad for the franchise to begin with. The fact that it's happening in game takes it to another level, and obviously part of that is the fact that you're breaking league rules to do it.
Albert, the Josh Gordon full-year suspension has been confirmed. What do you think the Cleveland Browns do with him? Do they sit him in a corner for the year and let him sit outside of football and continue to potentially, you know, rehab him to get him back, still very young in his career? Or do they cut that tie now and allow Josh Gordon to fix himself and maybe, you know, venture into another organization later in his life?
I think you got to cut the cord now, and I think that's probably what they wind up doing. I mean, I understand there's an element of this where you say, okay, we've put up with so much. We don't want someone else to benefit, from everything that we had to go through to get the kids straight. But I don't think there's any question that at this point, you know, what will benefit him the most is just to kind of be out there on his own, because you look at it and you've tried coddling him. You know, you've tried giving him all the resources. You've tried giving him the answers. This is how you fix it. This is how you're going to turn yourself around. And it hasn't worked. You know, so now you got to try something different. And he's not going to be able to be at any team facility, Browns or any of the other 31 teams, for the next year. And, I think for him personally, probably the right thing is, you know, to have him in a position where he's got to earn his way onto a roster and he doesn't have a job waiting for him. On the other end of it, I think from the Browns' perspective, you know, this starts to resonate in the locker room. And when you're being kind of an enabler for a guy who's got a problem just because of his talent, you know, you're keeping him around and you keep giving him chances, eventually you start to cross the line where you're sending a bad message to the rest of your locker room. I think that's kind of where the Browns are, and where they've got to make a decision now is, are we sending the wrong message to every other guy in our locker room, and are we – when everybody else here looks at that, are they going to look and say, okay, well, you wouldn't give me all of those chances? We can create problems, no question.
This team right now, especially the owner, Jimmy Haslam, under fire, you know, a lot of these articles sent around on his involvement with this team. What have you heard on that front, Albert?
Well, I mean, I can tell you two things, okay? I can tell you on one end of it, the people I know who've worked for him there love working for him and say he's a great owner and he does a lot of the right things. The flip side of it is that you see the actions and you see some of the things that have happened and you see the way, I mean, I've heard about the way he reacted to the Manziel pick last year, how excited he was about it. You wonder about his influence there. All these guys, I mean, I think a lot of owners go through this. All these guys buy teams because they want to be part of it, you know, and they want to be really involved in putting a football team together and creating a champion and all of that. And a lot of owners, I'd say most of them, go through a process in their first couple of years where they figure out where the right place for them to be in that mix is. And, you know, for some guys, it's just writing the checks. For other guys, it's, you know, having a little involvement. For other guys, it's more involvement. And I think that's kind of what Jimmy Haslam's gone through, you know, in his first few years as an owner. It's interesting because you look at where he came from, and he learned from the Rooneys in Pittsburgh, and they're such a model of stability. Only three coaches since the late 60s. And now you see the way this thing's been run over the last, you know, 3 years, and it looks like the opposite of that. And I think a lot of that is just Jimmy Haslam getting his footing as an owner. So, you know, you talk to the people in the building, they really like working for him. But you see some of his actions and the way he's interfered with some things and the way that he's been unable to create that stability that he saw in Pittsburgh. And, you know, it's hard to say through a couple of years. I mean, it's still early, but it's hard to say through a couple of years that he's done the job the right way.
Albert, you said the Cleveland Browns are closer than people might think. They sit at 12-19 in this year's draft. Knowing they need a quarterback, probably not being able to get the guy that they want or need at 12-19, what direction do you think the Cleveland Browns go at 12-19 to fulfill those roles in the first round and get that immediate impact?
Well, that's kind of the problem, is that, like, once you get past Winston and Mariota, and because guys like Connor Cook went back to school, there's an enormous drop-off at quarterback after the first two guys. And, I mean, look, there are big questions with those two guys to begin with. So, I think you put quarterback on the back burner, and I think you got to look at the idea of adding a receiver. I think that one's obvious, and there are some good ones in this year's class beyond just Amari Cooper. So that's the first place. And then I think because you've built depth at different places on the roster, I mean, you've got a couple of good backs. You've got a good offensive line. You've got defensive pieces up front. You've got, you've got a secondary that I think you can win with. You've got some flexibility to do what you want with one of those picks. So I think one of them you'd like to kind of get the right you'd like to find the right receiver. And then with the other pick, because I think there is some balance on the roster, you've got the flexibility to go best player available. And then I think you look at quarterback down the line.
Albert Breer from the NFL Network, our guest. Albert, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys.
Thanks,
All
Albert.
Right, follow him on Twitter, at Albert Breer. We're going to dip into our mailbag now, 216-578-0850 if you want to call us up, but we're going to dip into the mailbag because it is, of course, Mailbag Wednesday as we wrap things up here on this show, and we'll bring in our producer, Mr. Jason Gibbs. What's up, Gibbs?
Yo, what's going on, guys? Now,
Gibbs, I imagine there's going to be a lot of fun stuff in the mailbag today. What do you got for us?
Never a dull moment, that's for sure. Actually, this one, a guy called in. Want to give props to Clifford out there. He's driving a truck around, and he had an interesting question. We've been talking about quarterbacks here over the last few weeks, and especially with everything going on right now with Johnny. He asks, what about Josh Freeman?
What about Josh Freeman? Josh Freeman's out of the league because of his own off-the-field issues, so I don't think he's a guy that the Browns would be looking at to bring in. I think he's a very talented guy. In fact, I think Brett Hundley in this year's draft class reminds me a little bit of Josh Freeman, but certainly without the off-field issues, probably a little bit of a better athlete, smoother runner. So I think that, you know, if you're going to go that route, maybe you could go with a guy like Hundley in the second round. I think there's a good chance he'd be there second or third round. Josh Freeman's kind of gotten himself out of the league with his own off-the-field issues.
He's the last thing we need here.
The Browns just don't need anybody else with off-the-field issues.
This one from our good friend Paul Myers. If Tyrod Taylor hits free agency, would you consider him a better option than Hoyer for your bridge quarterback?
No, I would rather have a Sanchez trade for Foles, Ryan Mallett, Jake Locker, Sam Bradford. I think there are a lot of people I would certainly.
But I would rather. I personally would rather have Hoyer.
Than Tyrod Taylor?
Than Tyrod Taylor.
Yes, so would I.
Jim tweets at us, why do you think Manziel's camp came public with the rehab news? Why not keep it private?
Because I think it is showing an actual state. And we talked about this yesterday. It's not like a secret that he wants to have to try to hide. If he's in rehab, he's going there. He wants people to know it so they can respect him. He can get his time and hopefully work on himself. And at the end of the day, listen, it is not a bad thing for people to know that he's in rehab and that he is taking, you know, an opportunity to better himself. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, and for me personally, I think, again, I talked to Colin Coward earlier, a lot of people who were anti-Johnny Manziel and anti-Johnny football for being, you know, young and reckless and all those other things have just earned a significant amount of respect from those analysts. Now, he has to come out of it rehabilitated and be a better person first, and then prove it on the football field to get the utmost respect. But he's turned a positive light on his brand and who he is by stepping up and saying, I have a problem and I want to fix it.
This one from Steven Sein. Hopefully I didn't butcher your last name. Do you think the Browns should target a high-dollar kicker in free agency this year? Gostkowski, Nugent, Tucker, etc.
I thought Garrett Hartley did a good job when he came in here, but certainly could you upgrade that position and get somebody that can do it all? Yes, because I don't think that right now he has the leg on the kickoffs. We saw that, but certainly was a good field goal kicker. Listen, I think that when you get down into all the best analytics studies of it, now I'm not saying that's everything, but when you do get into the best analytics studies of it, the value of a kicker is not so substantial. But I do think that you need to have somebody who's competent. Hartley seemed competent to me. They brought in some young guys as well. So I don't expect them to go after a big free agent name. But listen, if you're a Super Bowl team and, you know, that's something you want to do, I think it makes sense. I get it.
That's it for the tweets today, guys. But I want to end on a positive note, give you a little bit of a laugh. This is we were going to play it yesterday. Rob Gronkowski on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Haymakers.
Haymakers. Let's get a little sound. Let's get a little laugh in here before we wrap up the show.
Okay.
At the end of the game, Tom Brady, you know, you guys are just running out the clock, which you do, kneeling down, and the Seahawks, some of them jumped over, and then there was a fight. And you rarely see a Super Bowl end like that where there were actually punches. You threw a couple of punches, I think.
I don't think I did.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, in fact, I think we have the video.
Roger, no, I did not.
Now, let's see. Now, you're number 87. And there you
are. Let's see.
Yeah. Well, they started it, in fairness.
Oh!
So there, that happened.
Ooh.
Have you not seen that yet?
Oh.
What started that fight?
Roger, that wasn't me. Don't find me.
What happened? Is there something specific that set that off, or could you hear what was going on?
No, actually, during that fight?
Yeah.
actually, we just went to take a knee. I swear, I just went in to block the guy and, like, you know, get in front of him, like, protect Tom Brady, because I don't know who's Tom Brady. I don't know. I wasn't trying to protect him right now. I mean, he's our quarterback.
Yeah.
No big deal, but, and then all of a sudden, they went hard at us, and then I got pushed or something. I was like, screw it. Last game of the year, I'm throwing some haymakers.
You gotta love Gronk.
You gotta love him. He was at their parade today wearing a Minion beanie and just drinking beer everywhere.
He was pounding beers. That's shotgunning awesome. With fans. Pretty
and
funny.
He has a cameo in the Entourage movie along with Julian Edelman, so I'm sure he's gonna be doing some
no doubt.
Some press.
Deservingly
for that.
So.
Yeah, I think he's gonna have a fun off season. It's the summer of Gronk. What are you gonna do? Appreciate all the passion of all the fans today. Obviously, you know, some tough stuff for the Browns to deal with here today, but hopefully we did our best job. I'm sure the Golden Boys will have much more to say about it coming up next year on ESPN 850 WKNR. Got to thank Albert Breer. Thank Mr. _ Kevin Jones on Twitter for joining us. And for Matt Wilhelm, I am Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily,
driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.